Chapter 46, Note-Taking 2024. Some chapters are harder for me to giddy up and go because I know them. Chapter 46, Note-Taking 2024 is one of those. Done correctly, notes are great. Opens up your mind. Adventures in the past. A time capsule unleashed. Events, adventures, emotions. Magical moments, a code, a key to reawaken information forgotten, a diary of events in the layers of history, notes inspired as if they are happening again in living color right in front of your face, notes inspired, yeah, right, all that could happen, right, if anybody actually did it. But all of us are much too busy doing things that are marginally disobedient, marginally sinful, and marginally helpful to others, right? If you really think about it, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, think about it for a second. What if I could change? Reprioritize. 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be an implement for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Wow! If we could reprioritize our marginally disobedient, marginally sinful, and marginally helpful to others, if I could reprioritize that, 2 Timothy tells me I would be useful to the master, prepared for every good work. The Bible may be the most extensive note-taking book in the world that there has ever been. There's love, war, monsters, horrible kings, romance, evil spirits, lost people, found people, hope for the future, direction for the present, secret messages from the Most High, plots to avenge, talking animals, angels, demons, burning chariots, fire from heaven, heroes of all sorts, and a powerful God presiding over it all, a frighteningly powerful Almighty who tells the future precisely tens of hundreds of thousands of years before it happens. The Bible is His story, the story of God, written in His notes for you to hear, not read, to hear and see, experience and feel over and over again. Each word an adventure, each time read, there are new adventures, revealed in words that never change on the page, and yet they do. Each time you see them, it's as if they've been added to each chapter. Yet another dimension of the story, not only to the page, but to the person who dare cast their eyes upon the notes of God. The Bible, a living, breathing set of notes written especially for you, as if your story is inside the words, secretly placed in time, waiting for you to engage, revealing your destiny hidden there since the beginning of time, waiting for you, put there by Him, a map to exactly follow, a path into the magnificence of God and of those things to come. Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That's a great one for unresolved conflict right there, isn't it? The notes written, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Sounds great, right?
Sounds great. That sounds great.
Why don't we take notes? So our kids can read our story, so we can remind ourselves of what has already been discovered. Already been discovered by you, revealed to you by God. You're listening to my notes right now. Thankfully, I wrote him down at least once. And look what happened. Look what happened. Testimony, words your children could find. Notes of where you've been, what has been done for you, moments, crossroads, valuable, priceless seconds and minutes written by you, found by who? Written by you, found by who? Notes could change everything, depending on who reads them. What God might use them to do? What might he use them to do? Look what he used these notes to do. Look at this. This is crazy, man. This is nuts. When I wrote these down, I jotted down a few notes, right? And here they are. Was I a note taker? No. But I wrote these down. I've learned four ways of note taking. Pick one or use them all. Or listen to what I say about them. How about that? One, listen and don't write anything down. Enjoy the listener like an entertainer. Maybe you remember some of it or not. What benefit could this be as your memory fades? Who will share in your experience as time disappears? Number one, listen and don't write anything down. It's a slippery slope if you need to actually remember the information for any length of time. Now, let's go to number two out of our four. Writing too many things down. I can't listen entirely. I can't write entirely. Writing and listening is impossible at the same time. One or the other will suffer, especially if the information is new to me. I get frustrated, I stop writing, or I give up entirely. Again, not that great for remembering. Well, we got two out of four. Let's see, what about three? What about that? Writing quickly and rewriting an expanded version later. Well, depending on your level of skill and shorthand, this can be pretty effective, bullet points. Yeah, grab the information as quickly as possible. Pay attention to the details with determination. And then take the time to sit down and fill in the color of it all. The color of it all. Sit down and fill in the color of it all. All of it. And your personal thoughts at the time. Does anybody do that? No. Why? I don't know. We just don't feel like it. Who suffers? Well, here's the worst part. We don't know who would have read it had we written it down. It's just not there. It's not lost. It was never there. Or worse, we wrote it down and lost the paper. Familiar story. Wow. Well, out of our four, we have three right now that we've kind of outlined. I'm not sure what we think about that. Let's go to number four out of four of them. Number four, listen with a recorder and write notes later. Awesome. You can hear the intention, voice intonation, facts you didn't hear the first time, a specific order of information, and best of all, listening over and over again to embrace the moment and discover true meaning. It sounds so beautiful, doesn't it? If any of us would actually do it. Again, nobody will. Nobody does. In the end, nobody cares if it's lost. Serious problem. How many people you really see holding up a recorder in church? Or holding up a recorder? A few, right? A few. A few overachievers. So out of four, didn't sound too optimistic, Patrick. No, it doesn't, right? Well, so what's the best advice? Is there a number five? Yeah, but I just generally don't list it. I generally don't list it. Well, what is it? If there was a number five, it would sound like this. You want it. Really, really want the information. Desperately knowing how badly you need it. Desperately. How could I do that? How could I know that? It's not so easy. It seems, the reason I don't list it is because it seems it either is or it isn't. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, people either want him or they don't. Either they want Scripture or they don't. Life without Christ is just that. You're on your own. Life with Christ requires a lifetime of study and service to the King. Upgrade your mind. Make everything important. If God puts you in a teaching, take notes. Honor him. Get the notes. Get the recording. Most pastors have the actual teaching online, notes and audio. The actual notes and the audio. Most churches have it online, have the whole service online. How does that help your children in the future? Well, if you have your notes, they read your notes. They might find your notes. But even if they didn't, they've learned by your example how important information is to go after the notes, to go after the notes with a passion for life. That's why I don't list number five. Because number five isn't a doing, it just is. Either you want it or you don't. You decide that your experience with God in this life is so incredibly important that what has been learned needs to be written, remembered, sought after, so that you and others may have hope in the struggle. Don't pretend it's an unnecessary task. It is necessary. Even if you decide not to do it, doesn't mean it's not necessary. Your story of life with God in those days before you knew him, after you realized him, and from then on, he was there. He was there with you. All of it in your notes, if you put it there. God and your life that he's given you. Isn't it better to sit down and read through your notes than it would be to scroll through Instagram? Deploy the information from these learnings. Redeploy these learnings that God has given you. Over and over again, read them from the direction of the notes. You can prevail in how many things in your life. Your notes, get this, your notes are a photograph of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Why would you want to lose such a moment? It's like throwing away a family album. Why would you want to do that? Habakkuk 2:2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. Whoa! Did you dig that? And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. So he may run who reads it? Oh, wow. That means God could use your notes to inspire another runner, another contestant of the good, to run the race of righteousness and win. Notes. Ah, notes. The importance of the photograph of the Holy Spirit delivering wisdom to you. Dated, and waiting for God's next adventure. On the hunt for destiny. Sounds a lot like the Bible, doesn't it? That's exactly what the Bible is. Notes that are dated. Revelation 21:5, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Get that one. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now, I got another one. That one was pretty good, but I love the following, but because I don't know why. We all have different things. This is what I saw as one of my favorites. I wrote it down. Isaiah wrote it down by order of the Lord, that in the near future, in the time of Isaiah, in the near future, the Assyrian army would destroy Damascus and Samaria. Nobody believed him. It's the ramblings of some guy.
Isaiah, yeah, he's kind of a nut, lives down at the end of the corner.
Well, he wrote it down, and it happened. Written down, it happened. They could read it. The prophecy foretold, and it happened. By God, captured in the writing of a man, notes inspired by the breath of God, it happened exactly as Isaiah wrote it. Isaiah 8:1. Moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write it on with a man's pen concerning Mahar Shalah Hashbaz. Mahar Shalah Hashbaz. Make speed to the spoil, hasten to the prey. Wow. Make speed to the spoil, hasten to the prey. And then it happened. His wife brought forth a son. And in the lifetime of that son, Damascus and Samaria fell to the Assyrian army. Mind blow, prophecy revealed, boom. John 14:29. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Proverbs 8:9, my words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Yeah, that's scary, isn't it? That means if I'm a dummy, I'm not going to get it. I don't want to be a dummy, and neither do you. Can you imagine what happens when grown kids find notes? Grown kids, when your children, grown up, find your notes. It's an amazing time capsule, loved by them. They will love your notes, remembered, stored in a careful place, held precious. They'll love your notes. When your kids grow up and find your notes somewhere, they'll love to read what you wrote. Why would you not write notes? I don't know. Will this lesson make a difference? Well, it did for me. Not all the time. Well, or did it? You're listening to my notes right now. Is it making a difference? You tell me. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 19. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. What the heck does that mean? I'd rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue? This scripture outlines Paul's thoughts, his notes, stating that he'd rather say a few words that mean something than babble about. That's what it means. He'd rather say something that means something, just a few words, than babble about. How many times have we done it ourselves or heard people just babble about? Good words for all of us to remember, right? When I'm frustrated past my limits and I don't know what all of it means to me anymore, is there a scripture that helps? Could I look through my notes and find where God's word moved me along? I do, and I did, and I continue. And this is the scripture I find that helps me through when I'm just at my wit's end. John 1, verse 10 through 13, he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now that's scary enough, isn't it? The world he made did not recognize him, and the people that he was his own people did not receive him. Doesn't mean they didn't know him, they didn't receive him. Can you imagine? They did not receive, and they knew him. Verse 12 goes on to say, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. That means I'm okay because God said so. Because I believe in his name, Jesus Christ. I believe in his name. Did it help? A little bit. And sometimes a little bit is good. Was it in my notes? Clearly it's in my notes. I'm reading it to you from my notes. When did I write them? That I don't know, and I wish I did. So many of my notes don't have a date. I wish they did. They were 10, 20, 30 years ago. I'd love to know what else was happening that caused me to write this scripture. And you'll feel the same way someday, if you're forever changed by chapter 46. If you are. Proverbs 19, verse 20, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. That you may gain wisdom in the future. You may gain future wisdom. Can you dig that? Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom. Where do I find it? You find it in the book, in the notes. In your notes. If you write them down, you'll look back on your notes and you'll see when the opportunity had dropped by, when the opportunity dropped by for you, when the Holy Spirit rolled up in your life, when it was time to do what needs to be done and God showed you how to do it and brought the people around you to get it done. I envision the angel of God, the gatekeeper to the next level of life, asking me the following question. What is your name and are you responsible? Responsible for what, many would ask. That's the wrong answer. Can you dig that? What is your name and who are you responsible? If the angel of God asked me right now, what would you say? If he asked you right now, what's your name and are you responsible? You'd say responsible for what? Wrong answer. I learned that over my whole life. Responsible for what? That is the wrong answer. What is the correct answer? My name is Patrick, and I am responsible for all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. No excuses. May God help me. Let me say it again. My name is Patrick, and I am responsible for all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. No excuses. May God help me. I believe in that instance, I accept all things needing to be done or undone. Needing to be done or undone. When I accept my errors and bring them before the Lord, when I accept my shortcomings, all of them, no excuses, when I accept responsibility in all areas, I am moved forward and am allowed passage into a vast sea of opportunity. When I accept responsibility in all areas, I am moved forward and am allowed passage into a vast sea of opportunity. I can't go anywhere if I don't remember the lessons God has given me. Best I refer to my notes. Because I know you want to do well. I do too. I do. I want to do well. I want to do good. I want to be good in the sight of the Lord. Best I refer to my notes. He gave them to me. He gave me these experiences, right? To be sure, and know where I have been, know where I have been, what I have experienced, and most of all, what he has forgiven in my stupid decisions, the dangers he has saved me from, the hope I found in him, the day he opened my eyes. That's all written in my notes. I remember those days because of my notes. I remember yesterday. I will remember yesterday because of my notes. I pray that my notes and my note-taking become more helpful to God as my life continues. Some years ago, Brenda, who you all know, says good morning to you every Wednesday. She's on the call right now. She gave me her father's Bible study book. Brenda's father was a preacher. His notes are written in that book. I read them occasionally. Wow, do I like doing that. They were written over 90 years ago. The hardback cover reads, Minister's Manual. First printing, 1919. Isn't that cool? Minister's Manual. First printing, 1919. I happen to turn to page 140. It's titled, Forms for Ministers. And on that page, in between the pages, there is a crinkled piece of paper. It's yellow and gray, and On it, her father wrote a few notes written in his own hand. And at the bottom, he says, written, it's scribbled in there. I don't know what he was thinking about, but it's so great. Listen to this. A boy and his kite. I feel the pull. A boy and his kite. I feel the pull. Heaven is real. I feel the pull. Wow. A boy and his kite. I feel the pull. Heaven is real. I feel the pull. Oh, wow. He wrote that. Those are the thoughts the Holy Spirit gave him, a holy man, sharing thoughts with you this morning over the constant of time. He has long ago went to join Jesus, yet his notes remain. This morning I say to you, we are different because of those notes. I am different, blessed because of his note to me, a boy in his kite. I feel the pull. Heaven is real. I feel the pull. And if that wasn't enough, right below it, there's another one. I read a barely legible scribbling. To those who live longer, the race is longer, more responsibility. The competition is not with others. It is with self. Ho! Whoa! To those who live longer, the race is longer, more responsibility. The competition is not with others. It is with self. Wow. A photograph in time of the Holy Spirit and a man walking together. Thank you, Brenda's father, pastor of a church somewhere in America's history. Forgotten in the past, notes still remain. Continuing God's work. His notes are here today, continuing God's work with you and me. Thank you, God, for the pen in this man's hand on a day a single piece of paper became oh so relevant. Thank you, God, for the pen in that man's hand. Because Reverend Fred Eugene Berkeley took the time to write it down. Chapter 46, Note-Taking 2024. It is very important. Amen, amen. John, let's rock and roll.